I just want to make sure I'm in the right group. I'm an agronomist by training, but I do work with ag economists, and I do appreciate them and what they do for us, because I think in today's world, with the high cost of equipment and all those things, and farmers trying to maximize their profitability, economics comes much more to the forefront, even with agronomists begin to recognize that. So today, what I want to talk about is some work that we've done in cooperation with Stan Spurlock, who's an ag economist on board, ag engineer, Herb Wilcutt, and myself and associates. We looked at whole farm returns for spindle picker narrow row cotton in a non-irrigated environment. I wanted to stress that because there is some work that's a little contradictory to ours going on in the Delta, but it is irrigated. So anytime you put irrigation to it, you can get a different response. So I just want to make that clear. Everybody's probably familiar with the John Deere Pro 12 VRS header system. This is a Ford one skip. That picture was taken in Australia when they introduced it, and I've used it in several presentations. But it is a spindle pick system as opposed to a stripper that came out here a couple of years ago onto the market. And it does work very effectively. It's a once-over harvest, and it cuts. You notice, you can see that picture. I don't have a pointer, but on the left, it is a header that cuts it off and feeds the stalks through the system that picks off the from the stalk, and it leaves the stalk. So you can't. It's not a second pick operation. It's a one-pass system. There's been some work done and reported that we have showing responses to 15-inch narrow row solid, giving higher yields than 30 and 38-inch rows. Also, depending on location, we have one location in the Delta that we didn't get a response. And then Stan Spurlock gave a report a couple of years ago on hypothetical whole farm cost return with 205 prices. We updated another year of data to two locations and making that comparison using 206 prices. So that's kind of what we our locations was. There were two locations in the hills of Mississippi. One was at Verona. These are North Mississippi locations. And then there was a North Delta location at Clarksdale. And we had eight different row patterns. And we used actual field plot, gin turnout data, the whole deal, HVI, Cotton Incorporated did our analysis. And these are the patterns that we did use. We have the 15-inch solid, 15-inch 2-in-1 skip, and a 15-inch 2-in-2 skip, which left us a 45-inch skip between the two rows. Then we had a 30-inch solid, a 30-inch 2-in-1 skip, and a 38-inch solid, a 38-inch 2-in-1 skip, and then we had a 60-inch solid. So we kind of tried to cover the array that we thought might be out there. Our experimental design was all a randomized complete block at all these locations with four replications. Our plot size was 120-foot length, and our width, plot width, varied somewhat with the row pattern. This is just a photograph of our harvest system. We did have two units on a 9960 picker that we picked these plots with. We had our engineer, Herb Wilcutt, he designed the thing so we could rotate and move the heads, pick all our plots with one picker rather than using different pickers. So that worked out real well for us. Our seed cotton processing, we ginned this at MSU mini gin that was equivalent to a commercial gin, and our HVI fiber analysis was done by Cotton Incorporated. Just to give you a little bit of what and how we set this thing up, our operating cost included all the input, repair, labor, machinery operation, maintenance, and interest on these input costs. However, one thing I'd like to point out, the cost did not include management or farm overhead. And our operating costs were based on actual production practices that we used at these locations with some modification for our skip row system where we used a post-direct lay-by in our budget for the skip row. And then we used post over the top herbicides. And this was a Roundup Ready BT cotton. It was not the Roundup Flex. I need to point that out because that could had some effect on the budget in terms of herbicide cost because we had to use some of the more expensive herbicide. with the 15-inch solid with that system, and that was part of the included in the cost analysis. Our nitrogen, we used ammonia nitrate at two locations, and at the Delta location, they used a UAN preplant plus urea. In our skip row, in our budgets, we used end rates were 90% of what the solid row pattern was. And our gross revenue is calculated based on the net loan price times the lint yield and plus the cottonseed sale, which is valued at $94 a ton. And our land rent charge was $55 an acre for the hills and $85 for the Delta. Just a little bit, our tech fee for the cost was capped out at $49 an acre. And with our row patterns, our 15-inch rows were seeded at 3 seeds per foot of row, and our 38-inch row patterns were all seeded at 4 seeds per foot of row, which gave us some on the 15-inch solid, for example, was 104,000 seed per acre. Now, that's excessive. We did include that in the budget, but then we also came back and looked later. We costed it out at 3 seeds per foot of row, equivalent to a 38-inch row pattern. And I'll talk a little bit about that later. And you can see when we set this hypothetical farm up, we had one bull buggy and two tractors per picker at all locations, and a module builder for the four row units per picker. And in the Delta, we used two module builders for 3 6-row picker units. And the machinery ownership cost that was used with a capital recovery method by Bale and Edman at 5% interest rate with an 8-year life of equipment expectancy. This is just a row pattern, kind of give you a diagram. And you can see the harvest swath. The important thing here is looking at the harvest swath. And the taller bars, you can see the ones that had the widest harvest swath out of all those 8-row patterns. And this was with a 4-row unit for Verona and Faulkner. And these were estimated costs for machinery was based on what John Deere provided us for the pickers, and it was minus 10% of that manufacturer suggested retail price. And the important thing I wanted to point out here is look at the swath width with each of those different row patterns, and you can see it varied quite a bit with our 15-inch solid, and our 4-row picker unit was 10-foot swath. If we use a 15-inch 2-and-2 skip, we covered, with that same picker, we covered a 20-foot swath. And so this will come back a little later, and I'll talk about it and how it impacted the final results in terms of, and you can see our picker cost. Now, John Deere did not have the 15 2-and-1, and 2-and-2 is not a recommended practice, but we was able to get some budget things that could be done, and we included that cost to lengthen that toolbar to make it work. So we added that cost into the budget. And this is just the Delta, the 6-row equipment. And the only thing I'd like to point out, if you look at the treatments, 3, 6, and 8, since we couldn't go any wider with a 6-row picker than the 21.5-foot, we went back. Those 3 treatments, we used a 4-row picker harvester because we couldn't extend the toolbar on those. If you look at the estimated purchase price, this was $206 purchase price, and all our data was based on $206 cost. You can see, again, for the Delta, basically the same thing. The only thing different was the 2-and-2 skip was 20-foot, and that was what it was in the Hills budget because we couldn't go any wider than that. And our widest swath was a 15-inch 2-and-1 and a 30-inch 2-and-1 skip at 22.5 feet. If we looked, I did fail to point that, but we looked at acres per picker. What we used was 3.6 miles an hour rate of travel. Our efficiency was 0.7, and we divided that by 8.25 times 200 hours. Now, we know today they're operating much more than that. This gave us, for a 6-row picker in the Delta, about 916 acres per picker. And listening to some of the conversation, the new pickers and things, they're talking about 1,200. But the important thing in this is the swath width, the wider the swath, the more you can harvest as you pass through that field. That's the important thing I wanted to point out here. And you can see the number of acres here is based on the three pickers. So it's 916 times three, example for the 15-inch solid. They give us 2,749 acres. I'm going to get into results and discussion. These were arranged, these treatments, based on lint yield. The highest lint yield was in our hills, and I'm showing only the Faulkner data. The Verona data was very similar. 15-inch solid, we did see a little bit higher yield with our 15-inch and also with our 30-inch. And as you can see, our 38 was down toward the bottom, and our 60-inch solid had the lowest yield in terms of yield. If we look at the gross revenue is there, but if we want to look at machinery ownership cost, we see the 15-inch solid and the 30-inch solid having the highest machinery ownership cost per acre at $115 and $112 an acre. Now, if we look at the net above the operating cost, you can see at treatment three down there is $200. The 15-inch two and two skip gave us the highest net return above machinery ownership cost of $200 an acre. Now, if we look at the whole farm revenue based on the total farm acreage, you can see was the 15 two and two skip, 2,444 acres. It gave us the highest whole farm net revenue. Now, this is all based on a whole cotton farm. We recognize that in a real farm situation, that may not be true, but this is the best fit that we could find to try to run an analysis and see how it would work. And you can see our 30 and 15-inch solid, although our yields were highest in the hills, they ranked 7th and 8th in terms of whole farm net revenue above operating and machinery ownership cost. And again, partially that is why it's important on the economic side is to look at maximizing the utilization of these pickers and things, and that's what this was based on. So you can see what happens, the swath width. Every pass you go through that field, compared to a 20-foot swath, you're about 75% efficient as I look at it from an agronomic standpoint. Now, looking at the Clarksdale location, you can see that 15-inch solid was 1 pound higher than the 38-inch solid. This was two-year data. We lost 1 year's data on it due to an early application of picks, which doesn't do very well when you go about fifth node and it gets sprayed. This is on an on-farm situation. But anyway, but two-year average, you can see there was very little difference between the 15 solid and 38 inch solid and 30 inch solid in terms of yield. But again, if we look at the machinery ownership cost, we can see that that's 15 inch solid and the 30 inch solid had the highest machinery ownership cost for compared to all the other treatments. And the 38 inch row solid, if we look at net returns above machinery ownership cost, it gave us $176 an acre, and that was higher than all the other treatments. Now, if we look at the whole revenue, you can see where the 38-inch solid gave us the highest whole farm net revenue. It didn't have the highest number of acres, so acres doesn't ever. That's why economics is important, because it's not all about acres and it's not all about yield. And putting it into an economic model gives a much truer picture of what's going on. And you can see the 15-inch two-in-one skip. Two and two skip had a little bit higher acreage per farm than the 38 inch, but it still fell out low. One thing I failed to point out earlier, if we look at one thing that came out in the yield was a 15 inch two and one and two and two skip, those narrow row patterns had a higher yield than the wide row 30 and 38 inch skip or the 60 inch solid. And that was consistent across all locations. Kind of summarize it, the 15-inch solid had a reduced harvest capacity with only minor yield increases ranging from 2 to 6%, higher than the 38-inch in the hills, and there was no difference in the delta. But it also had the lowest whole farm net returns. And one thing we did, I didn't show any of the data, I asked Stan to go back and let's pull out, try to even the make a playing field a little better for the 15-inch solid because it had a high seed cost. It was capped out at $49 an acre from a technology standpoint and seed cost. We pull that out, and we even as 3 seeds per foot of row for the 30-inch row, we made it equivalent to the 30-inch row in terms of seed per acre. And what we came up with, I said, what's the break-even yield that we have to be equivalent to the 38-inch solid? And it would need and the delta would need 144 pounds per acre. Now, here in the delta, on irrigated, some research at Stoneville, I think it was reported last year as high as 300 pounds more lint yield per acre for the 15-inch solid. So if that's the case with irrigation, this whole scenario, maybe the 15-inch solid may be the best advantage yet. So I just wanted to point that out. The 15-inch 2-in-1 and 2-in-2 skip row, they did have had a higher harvest capacity, but also had higher yields than if you look at the 30 and 38-inch skip row pattern. The most important thing I learned out of this whole thing, if you're going to consider changing row patterns, you need to consider not only what the yield potential is, but also what's the impact it's going to have on your picker operating harvesting efficiency, and then the whole net farm revenue. So it's not all about yield. It's how those things merge together in the end. And there were, this is a rather large project in Cotton Incorporated, John Deere, and Henry Sink with John Deere had a lot of input into this analysis, and also Keith Martin Farms in North Mississippi and Heaton Farms at Clarksdale was very supportive in it because we had those on-farm studies. And I'll take any questions if I got time. I probably ran out. Okay, I'll stick around. Thank you.